Father God, we just come to you right now, God. I want to say thank you. Thank you, God, for using a sinner like me, God, to help bring the message, God, to the masses. Father, I just pray for each person in here, God, that you prepare our hearts to have an encounter with you. Because, God, I know every time that I start preparing for a message, God, that you hit me in a whole new way, God. So, Father, I just pray that you just allow each person in here, God, this morning to encounter you, to hear from you. Father, take me out of the equation, God. And I just pray right now, God, that you just lead in a mighty way. I thank you, Father, for who you are and for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I want you to imagine just for a moment with me that you're at a crowded airport, okay? You just got off your flight and you're walking to go get your baggage at baggage claim. And we all know if you've flown any time, it's going to be a while, right? They say, oh yeah, you know, we'll have the bags unloaded in 5 minutes and have it at the baggage carousel and, you know, within the next 10. That's a lie. You're going to be waiting at least a half hour before your baggage shows up. If you're lucky, as long as they, you know, don't lose your baggage. So as you're walking calmly and slowly through the airport, you notice that it's a little crowded here today. It's more crowded than usual. And so you're still just kind of casually walking because you know you have a few minutes. And all of a sudden you see a janitor off to the side. And all this hustle and bustle and crowdedness that's happening, you notice him just cleaning, just mopping one little spot. You get a little curious because he's not even paying attention to what's happening. People are running into him and people are, you know, not paying attention to what's going on in their surroundings, but he's just still going hard, just doing his thing. And you go up and you talk to him. You say, you know, what are you doing here? Why aren't you paying attention to what other people are doing? They're running into you. You're not getting angry. You're just doing your job. And the way he responds to you hits you in a whole new way. With a warm smile, he replies, I'm here to bring a sense of order and cleanliness to this busy airport. Even in the midst of chaos, I can make a difference, one floor at a time. In that moment, it hits you that he is being so much the physical embodiment of the salt and light that we're going to be seeing this morning, we're going to be talking about this morning. He is preserving order amongst chaos, just the way that we help preserve order amongst chaos of our life. Like a beacon of light in the dark airport, he is, and we are, should be, illuminating the way forward. The last few weeks, we've been talking about, you know, the Beatitudes. And so this is a bit different than what we're going, because we see here, especially with the Beatitudes, verses 3 through 12, Christ completely is being completely countercultural to what normally you would see happening, especially in the Jewish society of the times. We talked about how to be the people are blessed if they're poor in spirit, and those who mourn, those who are humble, those who are merciful, those who seek God, pure in heart, peacemakers. We see how completely countercultural he is compared to what's happening in their culture and their society. And so we see in verse 13 that, we'll be there in just a moment also, if you want to go ahead and start flipping Matthew 5, 13. We see that Jesus is shaking things up. He wanted people to rethink what it meant to follow God. He talked about being happy in unexpected ways and being humble in other unexpected ways. And so this morning, let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 6. And it says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and be trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all those who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So we see here, we see that how Jesus is talking about salt and light. And let's be honest, it's kind of weird, right? Until you start thinking a little bit deeper than what he's saying on surface level. The purpose that we see with salt is to keep things from going bad, right? It's a preservative. It brings flavor to our world. We may not completely, especially back in the day, in Jesus' time, it was worth a lot of money. You can't just go down the local grocery store and get a thing of salt for $1, a big old jar of salt. Back then, you couldn't really do that. It was worth a lot of money. It was worth something, more than what we consider it worth today. And we see also that he sees that he calls us the light on the hill. He says that you are salt and light. So with the saltiness, we are to be a preservative for the society. And for the light, we are to shine our light for all to see, not to hide our light underneath a basket, as you see he says there, and I think it was verse 15. Verse 15. We are to be a difference, to make a positive difference in the world. And let me be honest with you guys. Jesus wasn't just talking to one person in this situation. He was talking to all of us and all his future followers of him. And we see that we're supposed to be a team. We're supposed to be working together to make the world a better place. So being part of God's family, we have a job, a purpose. We are to continue to be that shining example to the rest of the society. When they look at us, they should be able to go, something's a bit different about that group of people. I can't quite explain it. It reminds me of another thing, another example here. I know that my wife, she loves to bake. If you can't tell, she loves to bake. I've lost some weight, yes, but man, I tell you what, I love when she cooks. She has a cookie that's a family recipe, okay? And when she makes those, we don't bring those to church because they don't make it to church because they're all gone before the next day is over with, basically. And so I remember one time when she didn't do this, but I remember my grandmother, she was starting to get a bit to where she didn't really want to start cooking as much because she started getting forgetful of what she would put in the batter and stuff like that. And I remember one time she didn't put salt in her cookies. Just a little pinch of salt. And I know now why you put the salt in there. Because it just brings all the flavors back together to make it more rich, more delicious. And we see here that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under these people's feet. Once Jesus calls us to be followers of him, we have a job, and that job is to proclaim the gospel to all we encounter. I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's not an easy job. It's hard. It can get a bit lonely at times. I know when Jesus called me into the ministry, I remember being so excited about it and so gung-ho about it and go, yeah, you know, I found my purpose. I found what I'm supposed to be doing. I was 20 years old. You know, I found what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel good about this. And I remember being so excited. My dad, I can probably count both my hands how many times I've seen this man in my life, in all honesty. But I remember I went to a funeral of one of my aunts, and I remember my dad happened to be out of prison at that point in time, and I was so excited to see him because I was like, angry at you anymore. God's giving me that peace to understand, and I got something I want to tell you, Dad. And I remember the look on that man's face when he said these words, and it crushed me so much. Is why would you want to waste your life? Talk about a 20-year-old kid that just figured out what he wanted to do and is so excited because, man, you know, no matter how old you get, you still want to make your parents proud. Even if that parent's never really been in your life, you still want to make them proud. I remember just how crushed I was in that moment of how I remember feeling angry and hurt, and remembering, matter of fact, these verses actually kind of popped in my head at that point in time of how I felt like the salt just lost a little bit of its saltiness. Being part of God's crew, God's family, means we worship together. We care for each other. We get out and help in the community and tell other people about God's love. And you pick people up that get crushed. You don't kick them while they're down, right? We have that understanding. And I remember when I told my youth minister, mentor, the Grant Burr. I've talked about him quite a bit. I remember whenever I told him what happened in that situation, because let's be honest, folks, there's a handful of men in my life that have taken that father role. My grandfather's one. Grant Burr is another one of those that took a father role in my life. I remember telling him about that situation, and I'll never forget the words that he shared with me is, the reason why your father doesn't understand and said that is because he is part of the world. He doesn't get that mentality of what God is calling you to do. And it made me view, instead of having that anger and hurt, it made me view things a bit different. It made me pity him a little bit more. Being a follower of Christ is not always easy. You'll lose some very important people in your life on their own accord, not because of you. You might lose friends. You may lose family members that don't want to talk to you anymore. But I'm going to be honest with you. I keep a book. It's in my desk and in there, and I keep a book of people that I've helped lead to Christ, and people that I've baptized in Christ. And those days to where I feel like I've been knocked down, those days are the days I pull that book out. I pop it on my desk and I start looking at it. Start going by name and start thanking God that I was able to be a small part of their journey. Sometimes we have to find ways to continue on carrying your cross. It can be through fellowship. You know, we love to eat around here. We love the fellowships downstairs. If it would have worked out okay, we would have had one today, but it wasn't able to work out, and that's okay. But it's not always easy. But the good thing is you will find other people to replace the ones that walk away from you. You will find people to help you experience God's love in a whole new way. the key thing is that we need to make sure is we need to make sure that we stick together and not let our selfishness get in the way of making a difference. Get away from that mentality of, oh, you know, I'm just a little shy. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so proud of my wife for getting up and doing the speaking yesterday at the women's event. I'm so proud of her for doing that. We were talking.
She did a great job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But I remember she was we were talking just last night, and she's like, I don't know how you do that. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like doing it either. I'm nervous every time I do this. That's the reason why I pray for God to take over, because I'm not able to do this on my own strength. I know that. That's the reason why if you peek back there, I'm usually on my Bible on my phone real quick, just kind of reading verses, because I'm trying to give myself the comfort to be able to stand up and to walk down the aisle, because everything in my mind saying, no, you need to run the opposite direction. But we can't let our selfishness get in the way of making a difference. Because in all honesty, if I would allow my selfishness to get in the way, I wouldn't be doing what I'm currently doing today. I've done that. At 16 years old, God called me into the ministry the first time. I remember going, no, God, I don't want that. I'm going to be a football player. I'm going to be the next Larry Allen or next Nate Newton, Mark Stichnowsky, you know, Cowboy offensive lineman. That's what I thought. I'm going to make something of myself. And I remember saying, no, that's not for me. And I got scared, and honestly, I ran away. But when God calls you, He gives you opportunity after opportunity. No matter how far you try to run, no matter how hard you try to run, God will use you in one way or another. You may not understand or even be able to realize how God is using you at that point in time, but people are watching us. People are watching how we treat each other. People are watching how we are in our everyday lives. I know that a great example of this is I had someone call me the week that when I was sick for Easter. I had a couple of other people in town that realized, because they watched the videos, said, "Hey, I saw you weren't at church today. What happened?" People notice when you're missing or gone or anything like that, and people are watching us constantly. So again, to wrap things up, the question I started this whole thing off with is, why are you here? And what's your purpose? And let's be honest, our purpose is to bring preservative into this world and to shine our lights for the rest of this world to see and point them constantly from the darkness that they're in to Christ and Christ alone. Join me in a time of prayer. Father, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for what you're constantly doing in our lives. And God, as we are about to gather at your table, Father, I pray that we reflect on the sacrifice your Son gave. May the bread and the juice, which are symbols of your body and blood, serve as a reminder of your grace that is drawing us closer to you and fostering unity among us. Through Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. So, I just want to remind you that the Lord's Supper is an open supper, which means all you have to be is a professing Christian to partake in. The only thing that we see as a requirement to take it is that the person should examine themselves. So at this time, I'm going to have you guys start preparing your hearts to partake as the people that Fred talked to starts heading up this way at this time.